Oh, here we are early in the morning celebrating the resurrected Lord's special day. Did you realize that today, globally speaking, there'll be all kinds of celebrations? There will be musicals, of course, Easter messages. There will be, in certain locations of our world, even dancing in celebration that the Lord has risen indeed. All kinds of celebrations will be done today. Cantatas on and on. Very, very creative expressions of people's faith in Christ. Just a wonderful, wonderful day. And thank you for making the effort to come today. Just glorious. Now, along with that, I have to ask you, have you ever really contemplated, well, on Monday when I go back to work, where is Jesus? You know, Patty, what's Jesus doing, if anything? And Jeff, if what he's doing, does it have any relevance for me living in 2013? In other words, we get all excited about Easter, and we should be, but then it seems like Jesus sometimes disappears off of the personal radar as soon as Easter's over. And so this morning, I would like, with your help, to address those questions. Where is he? What in the world is Jesus doing? And does it have any real significance for me as his follower in 2013? So, did you bring your Bible this morning, or do you have one right there in front of you? I invite you to take your Bible. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to begin an exploration of what is Jesus up to anyway. So let's turn to Acts chapter 1. As you turn, let me give you a little background. Dr. Luke is the author of Acts. Theophilus was a man who was actually paying for him probably to do the research and the writing about Jesus. So when we start reading in chapter 1, verse 1, and he talks about his former book, Dr. Luke is referring to his gospel, which we call Luke. Okay, so that'll give you a little background. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. The ministry of Jesus over 40 days. What was going on here? Well, if you're familiar with the Bible at all, you know that in the Gospels, the disciples are characterized as being kind of slow in understanding the mission of Jesus. Michael, we would say they were thick-headed. Sometimes they had hard hearts. They just really didn't get it. So after Jesus is resurrected from the dead, in his graciousness, he decides to spend 40 days with these men so that they have indisputable proof that he is alive. You remember how 7 days after his resurrection, he appeared walking right through the doors, didn't have to open them, came in, and he approached Thomas because he was one of the great doubters. And Thomas said, "Boy, unless I put my finger in those nail prints, I'm not going to believe." I love how Jesus does it. "Thomas, come over here." Here. He pulls up his garb. "Why don't you thrust your fingers in the side where the spear went in?" Boy, that brought Thomas to his knees, Ginger. "My God," he says. and my Lord. Well, see, that's the thing that's going on here. They're struggling, and he takes 40 days. Now, the interesting thing, Paul the apostle, he lists some of the people that Jesus appeared to. I like that. We're going to turn there. Turn right in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you see that he appeared to more than the original disciples. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to begin reading at verse 3. You're going to see how many people Jesus spent time with after his resurrection. Chapter 15, verse 3. Paul writing, For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more, notice that word, more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. So Jesus, in an effort to shore up his followers, took the time not only to appear to now the original 11 and plus the new apostle, but to over 500 people. Now, Josh McDowell writes about this. And he says, in a court of law, if you allowed these 500 people only this many minutes to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it would end up being 3,000 minutes, or equated into hours, 50 hours of testimony that Jesus Christ is really alive and is not dead. In contrast, he says, in a law court today, often there can only be maybe one witness who could be used to convict a criminal. And in this case, you have 50 hours, if only given 6 minutes each. No, Jesus on purpose met with all these various disciples to authenticate the message, I am radiantly alive. Hallelujah. So there you've got the 40-day ministry, okay? Now, the next thing to happen is what we celebrate on Easter Sunday is his ascension. We don't often major very much on his ascension, but Eileen, it's pretty important. So let's go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look with me at verse 9 through 11. Let's look what's going on here in Acts chapter 1 with his ascension. Right back to where we started, Acts chapter 1. Look with me at verse 9. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Wow. Here's Jesus. Gravity can no longer keep him centered on the earth. And can you imagine, picture? Oh, remember when we read the Bible, get inside these stories. Get inside these narratives and picture Jesus. Gravity has lost its power. He's beginning to rise. And these poor men of Galilee, look, they're looking up here. Wow, look at that. I want to ask you, have you ever heard of anyone rising from the dead? Have you ever heard of anyone ascending? I've never until I read this story. It happened in 1982. The man's name, Mr. Walters. Mr. Walters was a truck driver, and he had always had a dream of going up into the heavens. So what he did, he took an old lawn chair, okay? And Mr. Walters is going to, he's going to do something very novel. Just a typical aluminum lawn chair. He's going to have some of his buddies come over, first name Larry. And first they're going to tie ropes on it and tether it down. And then Larry has bought 42 big weather balloons. And he's going to attach the 42 weather balloons to this chair, this size. And then he's going to fill them up with helium. And now, of course, the chair is really pulling on the ropes that are holding it to the earth. Now, Larry is a sharp dude. He's going to take a parachute, a Coke, a CB radio. Remember when CB radios were the thing? And thankfully, he's going to take a BB gun because he knows maybe he's going to, he might just need it. So, Larry, 1982, California, Long Beach, backyard. He sits down like this, and the whole thing's just straining to lift off. Fellas let her go, and they cut the ropes, and boom, he shoots up. 16,000 feet, 3 miles high. He's freezing to death up there. Two airline pilots are flying by, and they're looking down. They're at 30,000 feet. My God, look at what's happening. They're calling the Federal Bureau of Investigation, everything else, the FAA, and they're saying, some crazy guy is out there in the chair. Well, now he's freezing. He doesn't want a Coke, so he takes his BB gun and he starts shooting these 42 balloons, and psh, down it goes. And wouldn't you know, it hits these big power lines, and of course it knocks out power for 20 minutes in a neighborhood of Long Beach. The FAA got a hold of him and fined him $1,500 and said, "Never ever do that again." That's Larry Walters, the old truck driver. Yeah, yeah. He didn't go all the way into heaven, did he? Why is this ascension so important? Because I'm leading to this thing of trying to answer these questions. Where is Jesus? When he ascended, did he just go up to a nebulous place? Where is Jesus? Well, I want you to turn right in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And it gives us specific directions as to where Jesus is, even to this day. But go way to the right in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3 so we get a picture of where Jesus is. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And he has provided purification for sins. Here it is. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Remember, in that day, when you're seated at the right hand of the conqueror, the emperor, it means you're like a co-regent. And Jesus is seated even today at the right hand of the Father. Why this allusion to being seated? Folks, look. Jesus is seated because his meritorious work of saving humanity has been completed. So now he can sit. Does that make sense to you? That's the whole nomenclature here. Tony, he's seated because he doesn't have to save us anymore. He did it once and for all. It's done. Hallelujah. He's seated there. Now, the question is he seated there relaxing after 33 years on this earth? Is he seated there thinking about, I think I'll create other beings in this expanding universe? Well, what's he doing? Well, this now is going to address that question that I ask you. Is he involved in anything creative and constructive right now on this date, March 31st, 2013? Well, we have the answer right here. Jesus' intercessory ministry for us. Just turn a page. We had to go to Hebrews chapter 4 and look with me at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who is ascended into heaven, see that? He ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Oh, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, turn one more page to chapter 7, and I want you to look at verse 23. Just one more page, chapter 7, verse 23. Now, there have been many of those priests, human priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Look at this last phrase. Because he always lives to intercede for them. Hallelujah. So, what's he doing? He is busy interceding for you and me. Sally, when he was on earth, when you read the Gospels, his primary prayers are intercessory. He's praying for others. Now, when he's shifted into heaven, his primary purpose is to continue that intercession for you and for me. I like what J. Oswald Sanders says about this ministry. It is Jesus' personal responsibility, which he does not delegate to angels or men. He is never so preoccupied as to be unable to care for our concerns. As on earth, so in heaven, he is still one who serves his creatures. Powerful words. Interceding for you and me. The earlier part of this month, I made a journey to California to care for my mother, 87 years of age. Some real physical challenges. Mother has owned a large van for years, and it has a bed in it, and et cetera, because of her physical challenges. And it just became too big for her to handle, to drive. And she wanted me to come and help her secure a new one. Oh, I just prayed and prayed. Oh, Lord, this is not going to be easy. She can't take too much time to drive cars. It's just not going to be easy. Oh, God, I need your help. So while I was there with my sister, Mom had some things that we needed to purchase for her. So we went to Macy's. Of course, she has one of those little placards that says for handicap parking only. So I pulled into one. I'm in the driver's seat of the big van. Mom's on the right side, and I happened to pull right in front of a Ford Escape. And I said, "Oh, Mom, look, maybe that car would be appropriate." "No, no, I don't think so." So Sherry and I went inside Macy's and did our buying for Mother, came back out, and I got in the van, and she said, "Son, while you were gone, the owner of that vehicle came." And I motioned her over, and we got to talking, and she said, "You know, both of my hips are so bad, and I'm in such pain all the time that I've looked and looked and looked for a vehicle that could accommodate me and my pain and my problems, and this is the only one." And so my mother said to me, son, I think that's the vehicle that I need to explore and think about. Well, of course, my heart is, oh, what? Thank you, Jesus. I've been praying. I've had almost stomach aches, John, over this whole thing of trying to help mother in such a limited time. So we went over to the Ford dealership. And one day, mother drives. She's got a brand new car, a little car compared to the big van. And I've reflected on that, and I thought, Jesus, you sincerely interceded to the Father on my behalf and on my mother's behalf. I have no doubt, Jeff, whatsoever, that God got entwined in all this and said, I'm going to help that poor knothead Herb. He doesn't know what he's doing. I'm going to have him park right in front of that. How could that all happen? See, think with me now. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he brought two things with him. First of all, he brought the eternal scar of the Godhead. That is, five bleeding wounds. Head, hand, side, feet. Five marks of disgrace that human beings did to him. They will always be there. Why? So that when you and I arrive in that heavenly abode, we will know Jesus by those scars on his hand. The second thing he brought was a great empathy, a great love, a great concern for his people, his disciples. So much so, Dan, that he's going to intercede. He's seated on the right hand. He's going to turn to the left and say to the Father, Father, Dan needs help in this. Let's help him. And he's going to intercede for us. Wow. Say, well, I don't know about all this. All right, think with me. Have you ever had an experience where you could have really been hurt at your place of employment or driving your car, and yet it didn't happen and you were miraculously saved from that? Have you ever had a problem so knotty, so enigmatic, so hard to solve, and suddenly a vision or a idea came to you on how to unravel that? Does this all happen by happenstance, or could the living Lord be involved in this? See, I want us to think, the living, radiant Jesus is not sitting up in heaven like this. Look up here. Like some big, impassionate Buddha looking down at earth and saying, too bad. No. Even this morning, he is radiantly alive. He is looking into our hearts, and he's wanting to help us. So here's my challenge. I have some cards. And I always like to, when I preach, I always, like Pastor does, call people to some form of action. And I would like us, starting with me, to write out one thing we really need help with. Then, as the Lord leads you, come up and put it on the altar. And then when they're all up here, I'm going to put it in this envelope. I will not look at them. It will be sealed. And tomorrow I'll take it to the bank. And there they have a professional person come and just grind them up. And we're going to grind them up. So this is strictly between you and Jesus. You can turn it over, whatever you want to do, but I will not look at them. I'll go in here. So Daniel, if you'll have a little bit more of that lovely music from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir playing. And let's see, Hannah and Carolyn and Jeff, would you come too and help me? Let's pass these out to everybody real quick. Okay. And just take a minute or two to think through. Thank you. What do you really need help in? Let's just take a minute or two, grab a hymnal and write it out there. And we'll have some music, and then we'll come up. And when you're done, we'll place it right here on the altar so Jesus sees it. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go in the joy of the Lord. And thank you for coming this morning. What a great way to start God's day. Amen. Praise the Lord.